Suzuka is one of the most demanding racetracks in the world. Only the best drivers win there, so there was only ever going to be one winner of the 2023 Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen comes out of the final corner for the final time. Max Verstappen wins the Japanese Grand Prix. Red Bull are champions of the world for the sixth time. They take the constructors' title for the second year in a row, the sixth time in team history.
Let's go, guys. Another win. What an unbelievable season we are having. You can all be very proud here at the track, back at the factory. You got built a rocket ship of a car. Well done.
After a blip in Singapore last weekend, where Max Verstappen finished only fifth, he was back to his very best in Japan. Pole on Saturday by the largest margin at the track for 19 years. Then domination on Sunday. It was a fitting way for the team to kick off its Constructors' Championship celebrations. F1 Nation is coming to you from the heart of the Suzuka paddock with me, Tom Clarkson, Damon Hill and Natalie Pinkham. And let's kick off the show by hearing from the man himself, Max Verstappen. Max, you've won a lot of races this year. You've dominated a lot of races this year. How sweet was this one?
Yeah, I think it was a good race. Of course, the start was a bit tight in the first two corners. I saw in the right mirror that, of course, Oscar had a little bit of a jump on me, but at the same time, I saw in my left mirror that Lando had a real jump on me. And then I tried to, of course, close off Oscar, but then, I mean, he was still there. And then I saw on the left side Lando coming with a lot more speed. He then moved a bit to the right, and I was like, I can't go more to the right. So I was like trying to get straight. And yeah, luckily, of course, you know, nothing happened. It all got quite close, but that's racing. That's how it goes at the start. And then, of course, we had a good battle also into turn one, into turn two. I was lucky. I think there was a bit more grip in turn two, just on the normal line instead of trying to go around the outside. But after that, yeah, the car was very nice to drive again. I could really look after the tie as well. The degradation was quite in control. It's just been an incredible weekend to drive the car.
And what about this Constructors' Championship, Max? The team has won it with six races to go. Does this title feel different to last year?
Yeah, it's better for sure. I mean, the car has been more dominant this year, apart from Singapore, but all the other races that, you know, we've had a really, really good car. And it's just an incredible season for everyone involved, you know, within the team. And yeah, just very proud to be a part of it, but also very proud, you know, to be working with all these amazing people here at the track, but also especially back at the factory as well. You know, these people you might not see at the track, but you know, they are doing also a lot of hard work, you know, to make sure that our cars always are in the best shape, get developed, you know, throughout the year, and also be best prepared for the year after.
Just wow, guys, just wow. They've done it. The inevitable happened, but what a way to do it.
I know, still six races to go. Congratulations to Red Bull on what has just been a phenomenal season and magnificent team effort all round. Although we'll get onto Sergio Perez in a minute, you'd have to say this was all driven by one guy and one guy alone. That is Max Verstappen.
It's a great performance, as you said, Tom. You know, the Red Bull performance and Max, the combination is unbeatable, literally is unbeatable.
It's the way they bounce back from Singapore as well.
It was only a week ago.
I know.
That feels like a lifetime, doesn't it?
But there was such a message of intent from the get-go here, wasn't there? What was it? Max's first lap in first free practice was 1.5 seconds quicker than anyone had gone at that point. And you just knew from that moment on.
He was so keen to make that statement of intent. Anyone, any doubt as to why they had that drop-off in performance in Singapore, nothing to do with the technical directive, everything to do with the configuration, the layout of the circuit. And this is a very different one here in Suzuka. And we are delighted to be joined by Jonathan Wheatley, just rushing into shot. Congratulations!
Thank you very much.
How are you feeling?
Thank you.
Exhausted?
I mean,
relieved,
honestly,
delighted.
A little bit bemused. It was a bit of a busy day. I don't know if you noticed, but one side of the garage, we were rebuilding a car. The other side, we were trying to do pit stops. So, yeah. Amazing.
Before we bask in the glory of Max's dominance, not just here but all season, can you just tell me about what happened with Sergio? Because it was a really strange, I've never seen that before in Formula One, where you effectively retired it but you were allowed to bring him back into the race in order to serve the penalty.
You have that hanging over you, the penalty. So the stewards can decide to give you a grid place penalty at the next event. So you really have no choice but to get the car back together if you can, serve the penalty this race, and then you don't have to serve it again the next one.
Well, that's certainly worth doing.
Think of everything. But yeah. Operationally, the team seems to have been so strong this year. Do you think you've taken a step from last year?
When you have a season like this, everyone raises their game, and then it's incredible. And it's a joy to work in a team like this.
Well, look, many congratulations, Jonathan. Travel safe. No, you've got to go. You've got to go. Jonathan Wheatley, the sporting director there. So we've now come down the paddock. We are stood outside the Red Bull hospitality suite. And
now, when
when
I interviewed him on Sky, he was dry. He's now wet again with some more champagne. Sorry. Congratulations, though. Amazing.
No, thank you. I mean, the most amazing performance by the team and... just a great weekend and the best possible way to win this Constructors' World Championship.
How much sweeter, if it is this Constructors' Championship compared to last year?
Well, they all mean a great deal, but this one, to do it so early with such an incredible car, I just think the way that the team's been operating this year, the level throughout the company, and of course it's all the backroom jobs, all the men and women that go, you know, that extra yard, because it's the biggest team sport in the world, and it's not just about what you see here at the track, it's what goes on behind the scenes, which enables us to have these amazing cars, and of course the drivers, and particularly Max, to do what he's done this year.
You've been here since the beginning. Is this the best that Red Bull Racing has ever been?
Undoubtedly. I think the way the team's operating at this point in time, I think across the whole team, you need everything to be working in unison, and there to be the right spirit, the right culture, and of course the one common thing that we have is everybody's invested in the car, and that is the result.
Christian, at what point, if ever, do you think, I'd like to see a bit more of a race at the front, you know, between another rival team competing with your brilliant driver Max and maybe Sergio as well, you know, not detracting anything, but this has been the theme of the year. It's been total dominance, and this weekend
it has
again.
And I think, you know, our job as a team is always to do the best that we can, and if that means that we're able to beat the field by 20 seconds, I mean, I played a game of paddle tennis with Max on Wednesday, and he was so motivated coming into this weekend. He said, I'm going to win the race by 20 seconds.
He didn't. He did it
19.3. I mean, he was 7/10 short, but he did remind me there was a blue flag, you know, with a couple of laps to go. So, but, you know, you could tell from that first lap that he turned up. That first flying lap, he was 1.8 seconds on a hard set of tyres, quicker than anybody. He came here with the bit between his teeth, for sure.
Who won at paddle tennis?
Well, you know, I don't want to embarrass GP or Pierre, but, you know, Max and I did take him down in the tiebreak. So I think that helped fire him up for the weekend.
I like your strategy there. Look, hey, what are the celebrations? Is Milton Keynes going to come to a standstill again this year?
We'll get everybody together in Milton Keynes when we get back, but the job's only half done so far. So we've got the constructors. We still got the drivers to finish off. We can do that in Qatar, and then... you know, we'll get everybody together at the end of the year for a great celebration. But the most important thing is to enjoy the moment, and this is a very special moment for our team.
And you've never done 1-2 before, have you? So you need
We've never achieved that, Damon. Thank you.
I'm just reminding you, there's still stuff out there on the table.
So you know, Checo, he'll bounce back after a weekend. He had a horrible weekend. A horrible race today, but he'll bounce back, I'm sure.
You raised the subject of Checo. I didn't want to, because this is going to be a celebratory interview, but he struck me as slightly desperate today. Is that harsh?
I think after he got sort of concertina'd at the start, then, you know, then he got Nick for overtaking Fernando into the pit lane, and his whole race was unraveling from there, and then the move on Kevin was a little optimistic. The only good thing for Checo was we managed to serve the penalty here. The mechanics did a great job to get that car repaired so that he could serve the 5-second penalty here and not have the potential of it being rolled forward into the next round.
Damon and I had one question while we were sitting watching the race. Damon's looking at me like, really, what?
Yeah, did you bring in Checo because you hadn't got enough front wings? We were wondering if you had a spare for Max in case he needed it.
No, we had enough just to cover. But
that's quite a lot of front wings.
Yeah. It was, he's done quite a bit of damage today, and so it's picking up the pieces and seeing what we can glue back together for Qatar in a couple of weeks.
Do you know, I'm going to be bold enough to say, though, that Max Verstappen could win this without front wing at all. He'd be fine.
I think he's got to finish in sixth place in the sprint race to close it out. So, and only a Red Bull driver can win it, so that's a nice position to be in.
Well done, Christian. Thanks a lot.
Christian, thank you so much for your time. Wow. fantastic performance by Max, by the car. It's like the RB19 was in its natural habitat here at Suzuka. And it's certainly this. You know, you said, Pinks, a couple of weeks ago, that when you're asked, you know, if I only go to one race a year, which one's it going to be? It could be Zandvoort. I can't remember where else he said, but he's definitely said Zandvoort. We were previewing
Zandvoort. I covered off a few.
Yeah. But for me, it is Suzuka. If you love Formula One, Suzuka is the place to come.
Suzuka is a place of huge history. It just so happens that it was 75 years ago today that the Honda Motor Company was formed, and that's why we have Suzuka, and they own this circuit. They've just won the Constructors' Championship. The poor things, they keep having a go and trying to win it outright with their own name on it, but they are the people who contributed and provided the power units to Red Bull and also to Yuki and also to Liam Lawson, who's done a good job, and Checo. But,
Can I ask you a question, though, Damon? How do you feel coming here? Because it must stir up a lot of emotion for you.
Well, they've changed the back end of it now. I mean, the circuit's virtually the same. They changed 130R, and that's about it. When I raced here in 94, when they had that terrible downpour, it was like it was last year, actually. It was almost a huge storm, and you couldn't see. It was almost dark by the time we got the race underway. We went down into turn one and two, and it's got a huge grandstand around turn one and two. And by the time we did the start, it was almost dark. And we went into the grandstand, and all these people, they didn't have phones in those days. They had real cameras that with flashes on them, these cheap throwaway things. And the whole grandstand just lit up with all these flashes, these flash bulbs going off. And I'm literally going around the first corner thinking, wow, look at that. No, it was dazzling. So the memories I have from this place are huge. The old garages that have now been demolished to make room for these slightly more plush, accommodating hospitality units. It's still pretty makeshift, but they were very small garages and it was very cramped. You only had, well, you know, a small alleyway to get up and down, didn't you, Tom? So everyone bumped into each other, tripping over flight cases around the back of the garages. So, and everyone felt it was like a home from home. You know, everyone felt they were a long way from home. They had to put up with the conditions that were quite cramped. But these dramatic events happened at this circuit. Like, you know, you can go back through history here. It's huge, the history of this circuit.
Look, what about Sergio Perez? With your racing driver head on, I said to Christian, I felt it smacked of desperation.
Overdriving, do you feel?
What did you think of Perez today?
Something went wrong and he then got into trouble in the first corner, and then I think the little bit of the frustration did creep in and it got worse and worse, and the thing on Magnussen was really, you know, desperation, and he was perhaps a little bit annoyed with being where he was.
Damon, it raises the question, doesn't it, that if it is a closer championship fight next year, yeah, Red Bull is going to need two drivers on their books who are delivering week in, week out. Checo can't perform like he did today if that is the case.
No, he can't. And I think the team desperately wants a little bit more of a wingman for Max. You know, they know that Max is almost untouchable. But do you remember when Michael Schumacher dominated Ferrari and nobody could cope with being number two to Michael, you know? And I remember Ross Brawn saying to, I think it was Eddie Irvine, he said, listen, you can't beat him. You just do the best you can, all right?
Don't try and be a teammate.
Which is anathema to a racing driver to hear that. But, you know, you're going to meet someone in this game who is exceptional and probably above your ability, unless you are Senna, you know, Hamilton, Max Verstappen, and I'll name all the rest of the greats, Fangio or whoever you want, Jim Clark. You know, there are these people who just are so difficult to beat. All you can do is get close and do a good job for the team.
And for the second time in 7 days, Lando Norris is heading to the podium in second position. What a superb weekend for him and McLaren. Because it's not just one driver crossing the line to take a podium position, it's the man that they brought to the team. Someone controversially at the time, but my word, it was the right decision. For the first time in Formula One, Oscar Piastri takes his place on the podium in just his 16th Grand Prix.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Congratulations, guys. Double podium. Two of us up there. We're coming. We're coming for Red Bull. Woo! Well done, everyone. First podium. Remember that for a long time. So, thank you very much. Very well managed.
Lando, coming to you now. Another fantastic race for you and McLaren. How does this week's second place compare to last week's?
A lot less stressful, especially the last 5-10 laps. But just, I would say better, because we have two cars on the podium. So from a team side of things, yes, I'm much happier. You know, our first one since Monza a few years ago. But probably in a way, like almost deserved in terms of we're there on pure pace. Nothing had to go our way. We're just where we deserve to be. So yeah, an incredible day for everyone, but also for myself. Things went maybe not always the plan, but the pace was extremely strong. Couldn't challenge Max, maybe for half a course. He got into the lead for maybe half a second. So I'll take that. But in a way, it feels better because the pace was stronger. I could push and we were where we deserved to be. So a good job by the whole team to execute a perfect race.
You say you're where you deserve to be. Was the 19-second gap to Max what you were expecting pre-race?
No, I was expecting him to probably lap us 2 or 3 times. And he didn't. So, I mean, I was expecting probably a bigger gap. I was genuinely, I think we all were as a team. And I think it would have been a lot closer. I lost 8-10 seconds behind Perez under the VSC. So I don't know how hard Max was really pushing. I'm sure he could have gone a bit quicker if he wanted to, but to be only 19 seconds behind, he didn't get a free pit stop, which was lovely. And I think it's just signs of our progress. It's a track which has suited the car very well. I've been very comfortable since Friday to push and get in a good rhythm. And I think that's probably one of the most important things here is to feel comfortable with the car, get in a good rhythm. And I could do that yesterday and I could do it today. And that shows with our speed we're able to perform at. So another podium for us. Great result, load of points. The progress we made this season has been pretty incredible from my eyes and from where we were to finishing 18 seconds behind the lead or 90 seconds is, I think, evidence of exactly that. So I'm proud of everyone and we'll keep pushing.
Thank you, Lando. Well done. Oscar, coming to you, what a weekend it's been for you. You re-sign for McLaren, you start on the front row for the first time and you get your first Formula One podium. Can you sum it up for us?
Yeah, it's definitely been a pretty special week, obviously with the announcement of the extension and then qualifying in the front row yesterday, first podium today. It's been a very fun week. So, I think for myself, probably wasn't my strongest Sunday, so there's still a few things I want to work on, but to get the first podium, like Lando said, on pace as well, is a very exciting moment.
Oscar, can we just delve a little bit deeper into you say it not being your strongest Sunday? Were there any particular issues that you can tell us about?
I just wasn't quick enough at certain points of the race. I think these high deg races are probably the biggest thing I need to try and work on at the moment. I think it's still quite fresh for me. Obviously, in all the junior racing before this, there's no races like this, so the only way you can learn from it is by just doing the races. So definitely a few things, had I had this race again, I would have done a bit different, but that's all part of the learning. So exciting to know that we can finish on the podium, even if I feel like there's more to come.
And would you have done anything differently at the start? Can you just talk us through what happened there?
I mean, looking back on it now, I was in the perfect position to emulate Senna and Prost, like literally perfect. But no, I think, I saw I got a good launch, got a bit too excited on the throttle pedal in the second part of the start. And at that point, I knew I wasn't far enough alongside Max. I could see Lando was coming around the outside. So yeah, I think settling for third was definitely just the safest option at that point.
Let's start by discussing McLaren's best day of the season so far in a little bit more detail with McLaren team principal, Andrea Stella. Andrea, what a super day for the team. Best result of the season so far. Just how do you sum up that performance?
Well, that performance is a consequence of having been able to develop the car, first of all. We said in the team after Bahrain, if we want to start to lean on podiums, we need to improve 8 tenths. If we want to start seriously to become a podium contender, we need to improve 1 second. If we want to win races, we need 1.5 second. We can achieve this only if we outdevelop our competitors and in the meantime, fix some of the faults that we have and improve our operations track side. So that was the roadmap, if you want. Every team will have this roadmap. So now the problem was, how do we make it possible? There's been just phenomenal work by every single member of the team. And in particular, I would like to mention the aerodynamic department led by Peter Prodromo. They have really found great inspiration as to what the directions to be pursued were. And then all united, they went behind this direction. And when you have 100 people kind of, you know, rowing in the same direction, then incredible things can happen. And I think they made it possible. And then all teams supported with design, production, logistics, and so on.
How much further ahead are you than Bahrain then? Have you found that second?
Yeah, I think numbers in hand, I think thanks to the developments in Austria and the developments we took to Singapore, plus some other minor upgrades, this could be more or less the scale of the improvement throughout the season. This improvement depends on the track, obviously, so but I think realistically, here to be the second best team, you need it to be 1 second quicker than when we were in Bahrain. So pretty much I think the maths is correct.
And while we're talking seconds, coming into this race, did you think 19 seconds behind Max Verstappen would be where you would expect to be, or did you think the gap would be bigger by the end of the race?
So saved that we don't know how much Max effectively pushed. I think he could have gone faster and make this gap even bigger than 19 seconds. At the same time, Lando lost some time under the virtual safety car. You know, we remain realistic as to how much work we have to do. I think even looking at yesterday's qualifying, and we're not like we tried hard, and still we were 6 tenths behind Max. I think today between 15 and 20 seconds for us is a positive surprise. We thought we would be farther away from Red Bull, and we thought we would be definitely in contention with Ferrari and Mercedes, but we have to say that today we had a bit more pace than Ferrari and Mercedes. So good news, but it's Suzuka, suits our car, so we go to Qatar and things are reset.
Do you believe in momentum in this sport, and do you think McLaren has it now?
I'm not sure it's about momentum, because it was much more important to generate the impulse, how you say, the initial momentum, when actually we're at the back. So that's been the real difficult thing to instigate, to put in motion, if you want. I think once you put these things in motion, then you generate enthusiasm, you generate so many good feelings in the organization. But the most important thing is to actually have the technical direction, I would say, which is what I really would like to, you know, praise all the people that have made this possible. Neil Holdy, in addition to Peter Prodromo, Pierre Steen, Gilles de Ferran, Giuseppe Pesce, our director of aerodynamics, you know, like there's so many, Mark Ingham, so many people that have been so instrumental.
What about Andrea Stella in that list? What's been your influence?
For me, where Andrea Stella is in a very privileged position, because I could rely on this kind of calibers around me. I was also lucky enough that they are not only incredible from a technical point of view, but they are great human beings, great people, you know, like, which allowed me, Zach, Daniel Gallo, our chief people officer, to create a foundation that is not only technical operation Formula One, but is a group of people, is a group of humans that, think strongly about the culture, the values behind what we are doing, not only how do we achieve 1 point of extra downforce. And I think, if you want, that's one of the, I would almost say that the non-technical element is potentially the most precious, the most important behind this turnaround.
The gap to Aston Martin, 49 points. You've got 6 races. Can you do it?
As I keep saying, like, our philosophy is that results take care of themselves. We just need to do what is right. What is right in the short term, medium term, long term. I know that everyone at McLaren will not be, they will not need me saying, or us saying, like, oh, we need to go and catch Aston. They will say, we are already pushing 100%. You know, and actually, I don't want anybody to think, like, we need to shortcut let's keep the rigorousness, let's keep the methodical approach that we have had so far, and then we see at the end where we are.
Well, it'll certainly help that both your drivers are firing on all cylinders at the minute.
They are firing on all cylinders. I mean, with Lando, that's no surprise at all. But I would like to acknowledge that Oscar is in his rookie season. Like, you know, he came to Suzuka, and it was the first time he drove the Formula One in Suzuka. And here he was, you know, relatively good conditions on Friday. Then yesterday was a bit tricky. Today it was hot. The wind changed direction. Like, there's so much that you need to adapt to. And he did it like it was an experienced and seasoned driver. So this is great for Oscar. This is also great for Lando, because it's very useful when you have references from your teammate. And it's good for us because we are scoring strong with both drivers, and this is very important for our classification.
Certainly is. Andrea, thank you and well done.
Thank you.
I mean, Oscar Piastri's
absolutely
had a hell of a weekend,
isn't phenomenal. It? When you consider he's never driven this track in a Formula One car, he comes out, puts it on the front row, and then is able to convert that in a very calm way to his first podium in Formula One. And he did it in such a considered way. I mean, didn't even seem like he's really celebrating. I mean, this guy is one cool cat.
And he's doing it with a cold as well.
With a cold?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he was. But he hasn't given it to me, have he? Because I forgot a bit of a sore throat.
You sound
coming.
Like you're misfiring a bit.
I am a bit. I think it's the air conditioning. But anyway, yes, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? He turned up, and I remember commenting, I think I might have said it to Natalie actually, I was watching the footage, and this is the guy who's not been around this circuit, as far as I know, and certainly hasn't been around in a Formula One car, he's only been on the simulator, but he was putting his outside wheel on the edge of the track to perfection, using every inch, right early on Friday. And I was super impressed with that, and I think that it shows he's got the real stuff, the right stuff, and the natural talent that you need to succeed in Formula One. And he's determined, and he was also disappointed with his third place, even though it was his first ever Formula One podium, as he felt, he wanted to consolidate his qualifying performance with a second.
Now, we're joined by Bradley Lord of Mercedes. Great to have you with us, Bradley. We talked on Sky after the race, and you talked about damage limitations, salvaging something from this race. Is that kind of the main takeaway from you, that Lewis actually did a great job to put it in fifth?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. I mean, we started seventh and eighth. Lewis got pushed onto the grass at the start. We lost a position to Alonso. He was on that soft tyre, so we knew he was going to drop off, but it cost us race time to the cars in front. So to then be able to work our way back, and for Lewis to get fifth, we rolled the dice with George on the one stop to potentially, if the safety car came out at a convenient moment or something else, be able to, you know, be in the hunt for a very unlikely podium. That didn't quite pay off, but I think we got the most out of it that we could have done today, ultimately, with a car that wasn't quick enough.
In some ways, Bradley, you can commiserate with Ferrari, because, you know, the pair of you have been kind of put on the back burner, if you like, with McLaren suddenly popping themselves into the contention as well.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, it's been nip and tuck with Ferrari for much of the season. Some races we've been stronger, others they have been. McLaren have obviously made a big step, particularly at circuits like this, with the sort of cornering content we see here, we see at Silverstone as well, so that medium to high speed stuff. And we could see the difference between our cars and theirs and Verstappen's Red Bull as well, through the S's in particular. It just magnifies all of those features of their car and its qualities and some of our weaknesses.
Is it just a game of we got to wait till next year because we can only do so much with this car this year?
Well, in the factory we're already fully on next year, so there's no ounce of development effort or aerodynamic resource, for example, going into 2023 anymore. We've still got some parts to come that are just coming through the production cycle. They'll land around Austin time, and then the focus really at the track is how do we extract everything from this car in order to try and defend and hopefully extend our gap to get that P2 in the championship, which obviously matters to everybody in the team so much.
Quick word on George. How's he bounced back from Singapore last weekend?
He's bounced back really well. He had a really strong Friday and was less comfortable with the car on Saturday, ultimately. But I think today, again, we saw him racing hard, you know, up to the limit. He was making passes on other cars out there and then defending really strongly as well when he was on worn tyres against fresher tyres. Cars behind as well. So, no, bounce back really strongly, and I think optimistic of an exciting run in terms of the last six races.
Bradley, thank you very much. Just before we finish on Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton has come out and said that he knows what's wrong with this car, and he has to go to the factory next week to check that the changes he wants are being made. What do you think the design team back in Brackley make of that?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's got to come from instinct and feel from the driver. They've obviously got to give a lot of feedback. Huge part of Lewis's involvement with the team is that feedback, and the fact that he signed a contract extension shows his commitment to them. The lead time on this development is a long one, so it's not like you can just ask for something and it be implemented straight away.
No, that's right. And he's been forced, so he's had to, without upsetting the apple cart, he's had to say, listen, I don't feel comfortable that the team's gone the right way. I don't feel that this concept, which is a word that they don't like to use, but Lewis uses it, so we kind of get what he means. The concept, the way in which the car looks from the outside, which aerodynamicists are always telling us you shouldn't go on, but the fact of the matter is they have changed their exterior aerodynamics around the body of the car and tried to make progress. And the other teams, he's looking more like the other teams in Formula One now. But you can only do so much with a car that started off going in one direction. McLaren, of course, were very open about having, what I say, pulled the ripcord at the start of the season. They went, listen, we don't think this is the right way to go. We're going to have to, we've got another direction to go in. And they did that earlier in the season and committed to it. And the upgrades they've had that have come since Austria have been constantly showing lots of room for improvement. And so that's really why they are where they are now compared to Mercedes and even Ferrari.
I know you guys have got to rush off to the airport now, but before you go, I need each of your driver of the day. The man, Oscar Piastri, he won the vote on the telly. What do you think, Pink?
I'm going to give it to Max. I mean, all weekend, he's just been on it from the get-go. Going purple in FP1, he had fire in his belly, didn't he? I mean, I just thought it was great. And he took a great win for the team and took them to their sixth title. I thought, it's got to go to Max.
It really does. I think, you know, everyone else is obviously putting in incredible performances, but the fact of the matter is, it's easy to watch everyone else where the action is, but what he's done this season has been phenomenal, and he's driven on another level, and especially in qualifying. So it was 100% perfect weekend.
While we're talking drivers of the day, I'm not going to say Max Verstappen just to get some discussion points elsewhere. I'm actually going to go for Oscar because I think that guy is so unfazed by anything, and somehow it feels right that he's had his first podium, his first front row at a driver's track like Suzuka, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of driver of the day, how do you define it? Anyway, it is some ways it's personal preference, and you can definitely say that this was his weekend. This was his peak in Formula One, wasn't it? So Oscar is certainly an equal up there with, well, but he's not up there with Max yet.
Damon, how good is he going to be in 5 years' time?
There's a long way to go. You know, there's twists and turns in this game. Someone said once, sport is not about building characters, it's about showing character. You know, and there's going to be hard times, and it's how those people deal with hard times and all the other things. When it goes wrong, when you have a bad weekend, they all have it, you know, and it's how they cope with the disappointment as much as how they can deliver on the day.
Great words of wisdom from the 96 world champion. Look, Damon, talking of twists and turns, you've got to head to the airport. Thank you very much to you and Pinks. Travel safe, and we'll speak soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
So Damon and Natalie have gone. They're heading home from the land of the rising sun. And you've got me until the end of the show. There's still plenty to discuss in this race. What about the team that McLaren are chasing in the Constructors' Championship, Aston Martin? I can see their team principal, Mike Crack, in the Aston hospitality area. Mike, after the disappointment of Singapore, is it a relief to be back in the points here?
Yes, it is a relief because a lot of people wrote us completely off after Singapore, which was not right. But I think it's important that we were back here maximizing what we have, which we have achieved today with Fernando. But we also have to see that we had a reliability glitch on Lance's car and we could only finish with one car.
What happened on Lance's car? Can you elaborate?
We saw after a couple of laps that there was we had an issue on the rear wing, and we brought the car in at one point to check it because we were not 100% sure, and we saw that we have to stop.
So what about your racing car at the minute? Fernando, as you say, is back in the points. You were maximising what you had. How much more is there to come between now and the end of the year?
You know, this is one of the most difficult questions because you see, when you look back, you know, over the last races, it's very difficult to make predictions. You know, at the beginning we thought, you know, you look at this track or this track, you know, here I'm going to be a bit better, here I'm going to be a bit worse. But the last races have really told us, you know, that any team can be on the back foot anytime. We've seen it in Singapore with the guys that have got the championship today. We have seen in Monza, we were less competitive. We have seen in Zandvoort, Ferrari was less competitive. So it's going up and down, I think, for everybody. And it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen from now till the end.
Mike, what is the mood in the team at the minute? Because you had such a strong start to the year. This isn't where you were. How are people feeling? Are you having to motivate the troops at the minute?
They are surprisingly strong, all of them, especially in the garage. You can see really, you know, everybody wants to get back to the podiums. Everybody liked this experience from the beginning of the year. So the morale is strong, and it is something, you know, that we need to keep up also. Yeah, but also we need to not only talk about it, we need to bring upgrades. We need to bring our car back into a better window, and then the morale is anyway good.
Lando Norris said after the race, yeah, we can beat Aston Martin in the Constructors' Championship. What is the gap? I think it's 49 points. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we cannot say what happens from now to the end. You know, we have also no influence of what they are doing. So we need to maximize our own package at all times in each session to get that maximum out of it and try to make it a fight in the last race.
Do you think Qatar will be as strong, better, when you look at the layout of the track?
It's a difficult question because I think there is also a complete new surface. I think they have rebuilt almost the whole facility. I think it will smell a lot of paint when we arrive there. And then depending also on, you know, how many bumps are there, how smooth is the surface, you know, this will dictate a little bit how you can set up and explore your car. And this will also then lead to, you know, are you competitive or less competitive? So we really have to see. It's really difficult to predict.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your time. Now, when you consider where that team was earlier in the year with Alonso scoring 7 podiums, most recent one coming in Zandvoort just a few races ago, but it seems a little bit crazy that the team got the maximum from the car here at Suzuka and Alonso only finished 8th. But that is the reality at the moment, and they're going to be looking in their rearview mirrors at McLaren for the remainder of the year. Have no doubt about that. Now, one team that we haven't mentioned yet is Ferrari. After their sublime weekend in Singapore just 7 days ago, things were a little bit more tricky for them here. And significantly, Charles Leclerc had his best weekend since the summer break. He out-qualified Carlos Sainz for the first time, and he came home in a fighting 4th place. As Andrea Stella said, Ferrari didn't have the legs of McLaren here, but they had a positive weekend, and their tyres didn't degrade excessively on one of the most demanding circuits of the year. So that is very definitely a positive. So to come home in 4th and 6th is a good result for the guys and girls in Maranello. And what about Alpine? Huge frustrations for the team at Monza when the car wasn't competitive. Then there was Esteban Ocon's retirement from a points-paying position in Singapore last weekend with a gearbox failure. And then here at Suzuka, acting team principal Bruno Fama said that they're no longer looking at the Constructors' Championship, just taking each race as it comes. So for both cars to come home in the points in the Japanese Grand Prix was huge. Ocon in 9th and Gasly in 10th. And here is one of those drivers. Esteban Ocon, I don't know how you got back in the points today. Can you explain it to me?
It was pretty crazy, a pretty insane race. If you would have told me after the start and being on 3 wheels that we would have got into the points, I would have told you no way, but we've made it happen. Did a good one-stop strategy because I only had, you know, 2 sets of hard left in my allocation, so, you know, we made it work. We pushed hard, get the track position and finish P9, so very good reward for the team in general, because it's been a tough weekend in terms of performance, but to get points has been special.
How hard was it to get that one-stop strategy to work?
Yeah, it was mega hard. I think I whispered to the tyre to make sure that they were going to last, and we made them last, so it was good.
After the disappointment of Singapore, where you were going so well until the gearbox failure, is this a relief, or what does this... Is this a statement of intent? Just what does this mean, this result?
But it means that I'm not going to give up. You know, it doesn't matter what has happened. In Singapore, we were going to get good points, of course. But, you know, I don't care. I'm not going to lift off until I get you know, some good results and what we deserve.
Esteban, so pleased for you. Thank you so much for your time. So the top 10 looks like this. Max Verstappen takes win number 13 of the year, coming home 19 seconds ahead of Lando Norris in second, and Oscar Piastri in third, this being Piastri's first podium in Formula One. Charles Leclerc is fourth for the third race in a row, with Hamilton, the lead Mercedes driver, in fifth. Carlos Sainz is sixth, with the one-stopping George Russell in seventh. Alonso is eighth for Aston Martin, with the Alpines of Ocon and Gasly rounding out the top 10. In the Drivers' Championship, runaway leader Max Verstappen has reached the grand total of 400 points, 177 clear of his teammate Sergio Perez in second place. Hamilton is third, just 33 points behind Perez, with Alonso fourth. The Ferrari drivers of Sainz and Leclerc are fifth and sixth, and Lando Norris has joined George Russell on 115 points in seventh, with Oscar Piastri leapfrogging into the top 10 on 57 points, 10 points clear of Lance Stroll in 10th place. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull Racing are the champions, the kings of 2023. Their total of 623 points cannot be caught, and they're 318 points ahead of Mercedes in second place, who are just 20 points ahead of Ferrari in third. Aston Martin are fourth, 49 points ahead of McLaren in fifth. Alpine are sixth on 84 points, while Williams, Haas, Alfa Romeo and AlphaTauri didn't score in Japan, so their positions remain unchanged in seventh, eighth, ninth and tenth, respectively. Well, it's been a fantastic weekend here at Suzuka. Formula One cars doing what they do best, all in a cauldron of excitement created by the magnificent Japanese fans. It really has been a sensational weekend. Red Bull Racing, of course, claiming their sixth constructors' title, second one in a row. It's just been phenomenal. I think the party is still going on further down in the paddock. I think their freight might be a little bit late to the airport a little bit later this evening, but what a job by then. I think that's where we're going to leave it this week. Thank you very much for listening. We will, of course, be back next Monday with our preview of the Qatar Grand Prix, so we look forward to you joining us then. But for now, my thanks to Damon and to Natalie as ever, and of course to you for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.